Hello. Joining me on the phone today in a fun party line-like situation is my assistant news director, Kev Jackson, and VP of clinics for Sanford Health in northern Minnesota, and pediatrician, Dr. Colleen Swank. So we're chatting with Dr. Swank today out of news from, you know, up top from the feds and the state that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine needs to be put on pause. Dr. Swank, could you elaborate a little bit about what this means for people looking to get their COVID-19 vaccine?
So as far as what it means for getting the COVID-19 vaccine, you still have opportunity to get vaccine. There is the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, which are continuing on full force. The main difference as far as what that means to somebody getting the vaccine is that it will take two vaccines that's 3 to 4 weeks apart versus the Johnson & Johnson was a one-shot-and-done vaccine.
How are you guys handling the situation where people were coming in to get a Johnson & Johnson and that now is on hold? Are you able to switch it up right then and there, or how does that work?
Yeah, we did. Yesterday, we were supposed to be giving Johnson & Johnson vaccine in Black Duck, actually, and we just flexed like we need to do and rushed, I don't know if it was Pfizer or Moderna vaccine to them, but the people that wanted to get vaccine were still able to get vaccine.
So as I understand, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine works a little differently than the Moderna and Pfizer. It's kind of like the old school way of making vaccines, right?
It's a little different than old school. It's sort of it's called a vector model. And so what that vaccine does is it uses a different vaccine other than COVID, so a common cold vaccine, and it inserts some genetic piece into that vaccine, which then goes into your cell and causes your cell to make the spike protein that's on the coronavirus, the COVID virus, and then your body reacts to that spike protein and creates immune response to that. And then when you're actually come into contact with COVID virus, then it sees that COVID virus and attacks it.
So
I think we've talked before about the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine, and that has a mRNA, which is a blueprint for the spike protein, which then goes into your cell and your body makes the spike protein.
So what was happening exactly with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that has caused the pause?
So what has happened is there have been six women between the ages of 18 and 48 who got something called a cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, which is basically a blood clot that obstructs blood drainage from your brain tissue. And they got this thrombosis like 6 to 13 days after the vaccination with the vaccine. Now, the thing you have to remember is it's been six people, and there have been in the United States 6.8 million doses of the J&J vaccine given. So it is a really, really small number of people that had this. But because of the fact that we have other vaccine available in the United States, and just to be really cautious, that the decision was made to pause and double check to see if these cases were really related to the vaccine or if these six women had an underlying predisposing condition that caused them to clot, and also really to raise it up so that it's a rare clot to have. It's a rare thing to have. And so making sure that all the healthcare providers are aware of it so that we treat it appropriately if by chance we see it.
So as I understand, there have been no reported cases of this side effect in Minnesota, and it sounds like it's more than one in a million chance so far with the, but should people be nervous if they have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine already?
I don't think there's a reason to be nervous. So first of all, if you got the vaccine 4 weeks or longer from now or in the past, then we think you're fine. If it's been 3 weeks or less, then you should just really pay attention to your body for signs of a dangerous clot, and that would be a severe headache, severe abdominal pain, shortness of breath, or leg pain. And if you have any of those symptoms, then you should seek care just to double check. But I think the other thing to know is so cerebral venous sinus thrombosis happens to people. It's typically 2 to 15 cases per million people per year. And it does typically happen in people less than 50, and it is more likely to happen in women than men. And so it's, you know, if this happens to be a side effect of the vaccine, it's a rare side effect of something that happens rarely in general.
So if they determine, and I'm assuming based on what you told me, that's what they're doing during the pause, is just trying to eliminate any other possibilities. If they were to determine it was a rare side effect, what would they do?
So I think there's a couple different options. One of them is since these type of clots typically happen in younger people, they may reserve the doses for people who are older. Or if it really is more likely to happen in women, they may say that we'll only give it to men. The AstraZeneca vaccine, which works similarly to the way the Johnson & Johnson vaccine does, and that's only approved in Europe, they have had some rare cases of clots like this as well. And depending on the country, they have made some decisions to alter who gets the vaccine, but they haven't completely abandoned the vaccine.
What kind of response have we seen? And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's, you know, it's getting more and more common now. What kind of response are we seeing, at least in our area, from people as far as percentages that are saying, yes, give me the vaccine?
So right now in Beltrami County, I think we have about 47% of the population who is able to get vaccinated have been vaccinated. But, like, if you look at the 65 and up, it's over 80%. If you look at 50 to 64, it's right around 50 to 53%. So some of those increased numbers in the older population is, as you remember, those were the first people that were able to get the vaccine, and so they've had access to it longer. And then, obviously, the people that have had the least time, like 16 to 35-year-olds or 16 to 40-year-olds, that's the lowest percentage that have been vaccinated thus far.
Have you been having difficulty reaching those younger folks and getting their vaccine?
You know, I think that there is probably more hesitancy in that age group than in the other age groups because, you know, the younger population tends to be the ones that have the asymptomatic infections, tend not to end up in the hospital or die. And so, you know, that's I guess, my big worry about hearing about a pause on the vaccine is I don't want there to be a lack of faith in the vaccine. We really feel, I mean, when you look at how many doses have been given of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine across the country, we feel really, really comfortable with it doing what it's supposed to with minimal side effects. In fact, Sanford as a whole has given 250,000 COVID-19 vaccines, and we've only had 0.1% of those reporting adverse reactions requiring any medical care. That's similar to any other vaccine that we don't think twice about.
Are there certain communities that have been more difficult to reach, like lower income and things like that, that you've noticed?
I think anybody that has trouble traveling, and so right now our vaccine requires you to get an appointment and then come. And so we certainly are looking at ways to be able to vaccinate people that are more homebound, or looking at our options as far as vaccinating business, you know, going into businesses and vaccinating people there. Those are probably the big things that that are different. And then, you know, as we have, I think we've talked about this before, the reason that we require the appointments is because we don't always know how much vaccine we're going to have and when. But as we have access, more stable access to vaccine, then our hope is to even be able to provide walk-in vaccinations here in Bemidji, but also to our surrounding communities as well.
Well, I think I'm all out of questions. What about you, Kev?
I was just going to ask what our situation was now as we go forward. I know there's been more and more testing done with younger ages. What are we hearing?
As far as positive cases in the community?
No, as far as they've been testing the vaccines on younger and younger people.
Yes, and so the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines have been looking at that 12 to 16 range, and I think it was the Moderna vaccine that had 100% effectiveness in the younger age. So that is really great. I don't know at what point they'll start offering it to, you know, the FDA and CDC will recommend that we start offering it to 12 to 15 year olds. But the initial studies look very good.
Okay. I think that's all I have as well.
I guess my only closing would be, you know, we are continuing to see more cases in the community. Minnesota as a whole is seeing widespread spread of the COVID-19 variant, B.1.1.7, which is also called the UK variant, is more contagious than the one that was spreading initially. And it also is covered by the vaccine. And so really the way that we can eliminate and prevent another big surge from happening is for a higher percentage of the population to be vaccinated. And so my request would be to read about it, to trust the science, and to get vaccinated and make sure your loved ones who are eligible to be vaccinated get vaccinated.
Right.
I have a 15-year-old who turns 16 next month, and he is anxious to get his vaccine and thinks it's silly that he can't get it when he's 15 years, 11 months, 10 days. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today, Dr. Swank.
Well, thank you. And please let me know if you have other questions that come up. I'd be happy to come back on and answer them.
We should make her an official co-host, don't you think, Kev?
Well, I think so. She's been on so much. Yeah.
All right.
We could do a Sanford Medical Trivia Contest she could host.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Well, you still owe me a time when I can come on and talk about something other than COVID. So.
Oh, I'll still absolutely. We'll talk about children and pediatrician stuff.
That would be great.
I'm sure it would, yes.